Prepare the way of the Lord. We light this candle in peace, the peace that Jesus, our Saviour, gives to the world. Prepare then the way of the Lord. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship today as we enter the second week of Advent. We have lit the candle of peace, and may peace be with you. Let's join together in this week's call to worship. We come to prepare the way for Christ, the hope of Christ, the peace of Christ, to enter our world, to enter our hearts. We cry out together in the wilderness, the kingdom of heaven has come near. We come to be part of the light that shines in the darkness. Let us pray. O God, be not distant from our hearts. Be near to us. Hold us in your presence as a mother who enfolds her infant within her arms. May we, restless children that we are, wait and hope for you. Amen. During the season of Advent, we do quite a lot of inward looking. Inward looking to see what there is inside of us that doesn't need to be there, that actually gets in the way of our relationship with God. So with that in mind, let's pray the prayer of confession. God of tenderness and love, breathe your grace into our lives. Forgive our wandering ways and guide us along your paths of peace. When we lose our way and forget the reason and purpose of this season, carry us back to you. Lead us up to that high mountain of faith and hope, that we might truly proclaim, "Here is our God." In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear good news. God was in Christ making peace with our world, not counting, not holding our sins against us. Know that anyone who is in Christ is a part of God's new creation. That which is behind them is dead and buried. Behold, God in Christ is making all things new. Know yourselves as a forgiven and restored and renewed people. And let God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 8 to 15. And this passage has the title, "The Day the Sky Will Collapse." Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced like a thief. The sky will collapse with a thunderous bang, everything disintegrating in a huge conflagration. Earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. Since everything here today might well be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is to live a holy life? Daily expect the day of God, eager for its arrival. The galaxies will burn up and the elements melt down that day. But we'll hardly notice. We'll be looking the other way, ready for the promised new heavens and the promised new earth, all landscaped with righteousness. So, my dear friends, since this is what you have to look forward to, do your very best to be found living at your best, in purity and peace. Interpret our Master's patient restraint for what it is, salvation. Our good brother Paul, who was given much wisdom in these matters, refers to this in all his letters and has written you essentially the same thing. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. And now may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay. All right. Let's cut to the chase. We have this morning lit a candle for peace. Having first viewed that brief but powerful video, reminding us that the peace of Christ, the peace Christ offers, is dramatically different from the countless bogus varieties of peace the world tends to have on offer. A video that poignantly reminds us, against the backdrop of the seemingly unending torrents of stress, grief, and yes, violence that come our way on almost a daily basis. A video that reminds us that Christ's peace is available to each and to all, and just for the asking. In short, a reminder I, for one, need to hear pretty much each and every day, a reminder of the peace that beyond all understanding, all comprehension, is available to us even here, even now. Nevertheless, much as I treasure, and I do treasure, the moments of genuine Christ-like peace I have known and cherished over the years when it is my own life facing danger, there remains a small part of my wee psyche that wonders whether my neighbor has the right to expect something more of me, something more from me, when it is their life in turmoil, when it is the life of their little ones that has been placed in jeopardy as the result of our human addiction to violence. As soon as I ask that question, frankly, I have no choice but to hear the words of Jeremiah announce themselves with fresh urgency. They have healed my people's wounds but lightly, cries the prophet. They have healed my people's wounds lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And yes, no sooner do I hear those words from that prophet than I also hear the buoyant promise spoken through the lips of Isaiah and Micah, but both of whom point to a day when the nations finally shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. That hoped for time when nation shall no longer lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And the truth, of course, the plain truth is that the events unfolding in our world since October 7th provide fresh evidence that the promised time when nation will no longer lift sword against nation, that time appears to be more of a distant mirage than even a distant possibility. that the anguished cry of Jeremiah, peace, peace, when there is no peace, continues to resound some 2,500 years after those words were first spoken by the prophet. All of which means, ironically, that I find myself this morning in a place not unlike the place I found myself 8 days ago when I preached an Advent sermon on joy just down the road at Grace United Church in Coombs. Permit me to explain. They are, you see, doing Advent a wee bit differently this year out in Coombs, making use of a Celtic pattern in which Advent runs for 40 days. And so their first Sunday of Advent fell not on December 3rd, but earlier on November 26th, which is when they lit their hope candle. Now you might think, therefore, the candle we lit out in Coombs last Sunday was the peace candle. But no, for a number of relevant factors, above all a pending Blue Christmas service, they held the peace candle in reserve until this Sunday, meaning that last week we lit the joy candle that you folks here at St. Stephen's won't get to light until next Sunday. If you think all of that is complicated, just remember that when your church is next door to a building that has goats on the roof, you can pretty much color outside the lines anytime you feel like coloring outside the lines. So there. But here's my point. This past week, as I prepared for today's gathering, I found myself, as I pondered that peace candle, which we have now lit, I found myself wrestling with very similar thoughts and feelings as the ones I wrestled with last week as I pondered the joy candle. In terms of that joyful candle, I know that I have indeed tasted joy in my life, moments of sheer delight, not infrequently in the midst of worship and praise gatherings such as this one. Similarly, in terms of this morning's peace candle, I know that I have experienced moments of peace similar to the one so beautifully depicted in the Wonder of Peace video. Times when, often in the midst of anxiety and worry, times when an unexpected sense of divine presence, holy presence, washes over me, assuring me that all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. And I would be an ungrateful fool were I to fail to name such moments as moments of genuine blessing, were I to neglect to offer gratitude for the quiet peace and often the not-so-quiet joy that has regularly been among God's most precious gifts to me. All the same, as Diane explained so beautifully last Sunday, Advent, Adventus, is all about arrival. And yes, as church tradition has observed, Adventus, for roughly 1,800 years, there has long been a double-edged quality. A double-edged quality to this brief season. A season, yes, of preparation for Christ's birth at Bethlehem, but also, a season of anticipation. Anticipation as we look ahead to that time when Christ will return and complete the work begun through his first advent. Which means, just as I found it impossible for my sermon on joy last Sunday not to morph into a sermon on hope, I fully and freely acknowledge that I found it impossible to craft impossible to craft in the year of our Lord 2023. A sermon on peace without it managing to open a back door to hope. A back door to the hope that is at the very heart of every Advent Sunday. As we watch and as we await the fullness of joy and the fullness of peace, and yes, the fullness of love that has been promised in and with the advent of the Lord Jesus. Then again, you can therefore imagine my delight when I noticed the epistle reading designated for this morning. A reading which from start to finish is all about hope. Yes, to be fair, near the very end of this snippet from 2 Peter, the author does admonish his readers as they await Christ's return. He does admonish them, and through them he admonishes us to be diligent, to be found by Christ when he returns, without spot or blemish, and here it comes, and to be at peace, There you have it, but frankly, beyond that, this reading from 2 Peter is gloriously right for Advent, precisely because it is all about hope-filled expectations of Christ's return, or to be a wee bit more precise, it's about the fact that the people to whom this letter was addressed appear to be growing restless, impatient. Impatient because Christ's promised return doesn't seem to be materializing. While the response the letter makes to that impatience is multi-pronged and multifaceted, I think the most potent argument the letter marshals boils down to its reminder that Christ's delay is a generous delay. A delay that provides them and others with an opportunity to get their act together. An opportunity to become the sort of people Jesus would recognize as actually capable of participating fully in his kingdom. Which is to say, a kingdom defined above all by the same self-giving love that marked the life of Christ from start to finish. Don't grumble about the delay, is the letter's sharp warning. Don't grumble, rather seize the day. Seize the time. Use it rightly. Use it well. And celebrate the living hope that is still yours to claim in and through God's generous gift of the time that is now. That's the heart and soul of this letter's message to its original readers. But what about us? Where does that leave folks who are encountering this letter, not just decades, not just a handful of centuries, but roughly 1,800 years after it was first written? At so great a distance, how does this message of hope resonate in our world? And you know, I also find myself asking how the author of 2 Peter, it may well have been Peter, it may well have been a close associate, I don't think it matters. I wonder how the author of 2 Peter would respond were we to magically transport him to 21st century Qualicum Beach. I wonder how he would respond to the fact not only that his letter is still being read by people of faith, but that we are still waiting. We are still watching. In short, that we remain a people who cherish the glimpses of peace, the tastes of joy, the moments of selfless love that help to keep hope alive in our hearts. But a people who have no choice but to be reminded constantly that we are still an Advent people. A people who inhabit a still broken world and therefore have no choice but to experience peace, joy, and love mediated through the gift of hope. People who have been given many glimpses of the peace, joy, and love that await them, but only glimpses. People who have seen through a glass, but darkly. All of which, I guess, raises for me the key question. Having ushered hope into our gathering through the back door, so to speak, how does such hope become more than the plaintive wishing and hoping of that wonderful 60s song? How do we give hope hands and heart and legs? How do we give hope a tangible presence in our lives, in our congregation's mission? As a people still yearning for a world in which peace, joy, and love will have finally claimed every nook and cranny of God's good creation, God's wondrous world, How do we as Christ's disciples ground our witness to hope in a lively, life-giving way? Well, the answer I keep coming back to likely owes something to the fact that Advent, year in and year out, gives way just as the sun goes down on December 24th, gives way to the celebration of the birth of a child. My answer may also have something to do with the fact that at our 9 o'clock service this Sunday, we plan to baptize a wee child. And yes, my answer may have something to do with the fact that so many young people, so many of my own millennial children's contemporaries currently ask themselves, not frivolously, but passionately, ask themselves whether it is even responsible to bring a child into this world at such a time as this. Which leads me quite directly to suggest that there is no better way for us as Christian persons and as Christian faith communities. No better way to manifest hope. To manifest hope not as some vague wishing and hoping, but as a concrete way of life. No better way to live as a hopeful and, of course, as a faithful and loving people of God than by welcoming the child, the Christ child, of course. But each and every precious child that crosses the threshold of this faith community, every precious child that crosses the threshold of our own personal lives. And notice, please notice, in recognition of the fact that this sermon is being preached in the oldest community anywhere in Canada, notice that I had the good sense not to issue a mandate for us to be fruitful and multiply. For most of us, that ship has sailed. Notice, too, that I am focusing on a way of manifesting hope that will likely interfere with our enjoyment of peace, at any rate, peace and quiet, given the wonderful noisy turmoil children bring into our lives. And finally, notice as well, this one's important. Notice that what I am not saying, is that we should turn to the little ones in our midst and tell them that they are the hope of the future. God forbid. Lest we forget there were idiots back in the late 40s and 50s who thought we baby boomers were the hope of the future. How's that working out for you? No. It's not that any of our young St. Stephen folks or any other cohort of children need to be regarded as the hope of the future. God spare them from such outlandish a burden. No. Rather, it's that our willingness to welcome the child, to welcome all children, is a clear sign that we retain hope for the future, notwithstanding the considerable evidence to the contrary. A hope for the future grounded not on the basis of our own ingenuity or the imagined, hoped for ingenuity of those who will follow in our footsteps. Rather, a hope grounded in God's faithfulness and in the promised coming, the sure and certain adventus of the one who is rightly known as Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Font of Joy, Loving Friend, Living Lord. We call him Jesus, and he is most surely and most truly, most richly and most fully, the one in whom we are entitled, indeed the one in whom we are summoned to place our most outlandish hopes and expectations. Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Rekindle the hope that is ours. Fill us with your peace, your joy, your love. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Friends, please join me now for our time of prayer. Let us pray. We come into your presence, Advent God, as a hopeful people. Sustain us faithfully, lovingly, and hopefully as we await the coming of our precious Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. O ruler of the nations, bring justice to the poor and oppressed, and change the hearts of those who might help to bring justice and end oppression for all your children. Come, Lord Jesus, come. King of Peace, you beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Turn, we pray, hatred into love, our grievances into forgiveness, and bring about an end to violence in all the many unhappy places where swords and spears remain weapons of destruction. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Pour out your blessing on all families, especially those currently blessed with the joyful challenge of raising children in a world that does not always know how to welcome a child. We pray especially for all of the little ones in this faith community and any child anywhere who will this day be baptized into your church. Hold them in your hands of love, O God. And help us to be your heart and hands for all of your children, great and small, all who this day need to be reminded that they are loved and cherished. Come, Lord Jesus, come. O God of power, O God of mercy, hear and answer our prayers, and as you respond and as you answer, open our hearts in welcome. Remove the things that hinder us from receiving Christ with joy, so that we may share his wisdom and become one with him when he comes in glory, for he lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for all the gifts given this week to the work and ministry of God through this congregation. Would you pray with me over the tithes and offerings? Holy One, this Advent season we wait in peace and we give in peace. A peace deeper than our anxiety and fear. A peace growing from our trust in your loving power. Receive these generous offerings and use them to bring your peace to our world in the name of the one who is the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Friends, we have worshiped as an Advent people, as a hopeful people. And so I invite you to go forth into the world to live the hope that is ours in Christ and to spread the good news of the Christ who is to come. Go forth now to love and to serve our God. Thanks be to God.
Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the everlasting light, Son of righteousness, arise and triumph o'er these shades of night. Come, thou the fullness of your love, and loose this heart bound up by shame, and I will never be the same. So here I'm waiting above you, all my soul's longing through and through. They spring from on high beneath, and they star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, until your love in me is born, and joyless is the evening sun, until Emmanuel has come. So here I wait in hope of you, all my soul's longing through and through. Day spring from on high beneath, and day starring. So here I'm waiting above you, all my soul's longing through and through. And day spring from on high beneath, and day star in my heart appear.